is another study in the pictures of the cross. I like to do them on nights when we are going to celebrate communion, and it's been a few weeks, so I thought we would celebrate again tonight, and so I have prepared another study on another picture in the scriptures of the cross of Christ, and this is in the Old Testament still. This is the picture from Passover, which is a beautiful picture of the cross of Christ. And it's introduced in Exodus chapter 12. I won't read the whole chapter. I'll just read a few of the verses, the main part of the chapter that we will look at. And other parts of it, I'll just make reference to the individual verses as we come to them. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. In other words, he changed the calendar. The month Nisan, which was a month at the time, instead of it being like the third or fourth month of the calendar, he switched into this going to be the first month of your year, showing priority to this particular celebration that he was going to introduce to them. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So there's not every individual person, but a lamb to a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. So a little bit of a sharing there. If there were small families together beside each other, I'd go in together on it and have one lamb that you would share. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. In other words, don't get rid of anything. Cook the whole lamb. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And this is how you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And it goes on and gives some more directions related to the celebration of Passover. A couple of verses we'll look at as we progress through, but this is the main section I wanted to examine. This particular celebration that God instituted with the children of Israel was going to be the night that he would deliver them. This is the night. We've been talking about it for a long time. Moses has been begging the Pharaoh to release you and to let you go. Well, tonight's the night. You will leave tonight. And not only will you leave tonight, but you will leave with your hands full. All of these years that you have served Egypt, and they have taken away your straw and treated you so cruelly as their servants, tonight is a night of retribution. For tonight you'll go out with your hands full of gold, silver, jewels, precious stones, and they will send you. Get out of here. Leave us. We don't want you anymore. And in fact, you will leave with your unleavened bread still in its formative stages, you won't have even had the chance to bake it all, and you'll wrap it up in your fabrics and you'll take it out to cook as you're gone. That's how rapidly they will want you to leave. It's going to be a big night. Certainly one to celebrate and remember. And as we go through it, you will see that this particular celebration is a beautiful picture and description of Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb. And his death on the cross is described vividly in this particular celebration. And I only want to take time to look at a few of the parts of it, because if you were to go through it in detail and take every item of it, there's virtually every item of this celebration you can relate to Christ in some fashion. The days, we're going to look at that. The blood, we're going to look at that. The separation, we're going to look at that. But there are other parts of this celebration, the bitter herbs, the hyssop, the times, the manner of it being cooked. It was roasted, picturing the fire. Well, there's a lot here which we won't take the time to examine, so we're only going to look at parts. But it's important to do this because it will help us understand the cross. And that is vitally important for us because the cross is the central theme of Scripture. The Old Testament prophesied of it. The Old Testament predicted it. It spoke of it specifically in prophecy. It also gave us pictures like the one we're going to look at. In a variety of ways and means, it was talking about that cross. And then, of course, the New Testament, it talks about the cross and applies it and helps us to understand it as having occurred and what it means. So the cross is central throughout all of Scripture, and so anything that we can examine that will help us understand the cross is worthy of our examination and contemplation. Because it's through the cross that we obtain victory. If it weren't for the cross, we would be in destitute state. So the cross is a very vital part of the life of the believer. And it's particularly relevant in our day because sadly, the professing church preaches very little on the cross. It seems to prefer other issues, relevant issues to society, and never brings in the cross as to how the cross might affect conditions in our society, which they do. For some reason, though, we don't like to talk about the cross. So the instruction that we can receive from this picture will be vital to us to understand it in a new view, in a new angle upon it. It will help us see that what we have in Christ because of his death on the cross on our behalf. Also, since we will celebrate communion tonight, it will give us another way in which to remember him. Some additional features of his death on the cross. And he said, remember me. It will give us some new ways to do that. And to celebrate that victory. Because the cross was not a defeat. It was a victory. Because on the cross, he defeated our enemy, Satan. And he demonstrated his nature and his power, his omnipotence, his grace, his mercy, his love. And so the cross was a victory. And by viewing it in a slightly different, from a slightly different vantage point, it will help us grasp some of these truths that will edify us and strengthen us. So I want us to examine how Christ fulfilled Passover in several different ways. And then I want us to look at the differences between Christ and the Passover Lamb, because there are some. And then we'll look at some implications of those truths. First, some aspects of the Passover Lamb. First of all, in verses 3 through 5, it talks about taking a lamb. Now, I must confess, when I start talking about things related to the farm, I feel very self-conscious having someone in the study who grew up on a farm and who has greater knowledge than I about the farm and about animals. So I will be very careful what I say, not to display too much of my ignorance. But I think there are some things we can grasp from even just kind of a simplistic understanding of lambs that apply to Christ. For example, lambs are innocent. They're blameless. They're kind of a meek, docile animal. I hate to say it, but they're dumb. I once heard a message of a man who went to Australia for a speaking tour, and while there, he happened to speak to a crowd of people who were shepherds. And part of his message was talking about sheep and how dumb they are, and after his message, the shepherds came up and had great controversy with him over their dear sheep. Sheep are not dumb. They are not. And they went on to great lengths to defend their animals. And then after he told that little story, he says, yeah, but I got to tell you, sheep are dumb. Well, by that I'm meaning not that they're totally ignorant, although they don't have great mental capacity. Here's a point I want to point out. The scriptures talk about that sheep before their shearers are dumb. They don't complain. They just kind of stand there and they shear them and take the wool off. I don't know if there's any pain involved, but there certainly is the being right in that spot, not being able to move about. So those are some characteristics of lambs, of sheep. And Christ fits that description. And frequently in Scripture, Jesus is pointed out as the lamb. John the Baptist pointed him out as, there is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One of these times we'll look at that picture, because that's a different picture than this one. But point out to a lamb. And we also read in Isaiah chapter 53 about how as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so the Lord Jesus, when he was on trial, when he was being persecuted in those last hours, he opened not his mouth, just like a lamb does not open its mouth when it is undergoing severe test and trial. Giving us the picture again of Christ being the lamb. So the selection of a lamb by God was deliberate. He didn't pick a calf. He didn't pick a goat. He didn't pick a mule. He didn't pick some other kind of animal that he might have selected, but he picked a lamb because the nature of a lamb is very similar to the nature of Christ. Meek, blameless, humble, before his shearers was dumb. So by the selection of a lamb, it is forecasting to the kind of person that would come. The second thing I want you to notice about this lamb is how the lamb was separated. You'll notice as we read through that on the 10th day of the month, they were to take the lamb and separate it out from the other herd of sheep and possibly of the goats if it was intermingled in some fashion. Take the lamb out from them, separate it and hold it separate until the 14th day. Don't let it mix in with other animals. It is to be separated out. You realize what day it was of the month that the Lord Jesus rode in to the city of Jerusalem on the mule, on the, what was it that he rode in on? The donkey, on whom no one had ever sat. It was the 10th day of Nisan. Just as the sheep, this lamb, was prepared, separated to be slaughtered for the sacrifice of Passover, so the Lord Jesus on the 10th day of Nisan separated himself from everyone, came in, prepared himself for the sacrifice that would occur on the cross. Very detailed. very detailed. The date on which Christ entered into Jerusalem was the 10th day of Nisan. Just as this lamb was separated from the other animals on the 10th day of the month, in preparation, in anticipation of Passover. The condition of this lamb, verse number 5, without blemish, a spotless lamb. Someone has conjectured and stated that in an animal you can find at least 50 different kinds of blemishes. Again, I don't want to display all of my ignorance about animals, but could be possibly a limp. Maybe one of the limbs was not formed quite right, and so it walks with a limp. Maybe it doesn't have good health and is kind of scrawny. Maybe it has bad eyesight, bad vision. Maybe it has some other defect because the genes didn't quite match up accurately, and so it's deformed in some fashion. Well, again, I don't want to display too much ignorance, but there's approximately 50 different kinds of blemishes that an animal could have. This one was to have none. Without blemish. In other words, don't pick out a lamb that isn't any good to you. Pick out a good lamb. One that you might want to use for breeding purposes that would produce additional spotless lambs. Pick out the best of the litter, without blemish. We read of the Lord Jesus as he stood before Pilate. He said, "What's wrong with him? I find no fault in him. Why do you want to crucify him? He's faultless. I've examined him. There's nothing wrong with him." We also read in 1 Peter, I want us to look at this one because it has some application to other aspects of this picture. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, in describing the Lord Jesus and how he fulfills this spotless, blameless lamb used for the Passover. 1 Peter chapter 1, make sure I got the right reference. Verse number 19, let's back up a verse. "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, your redemption didn't come with corruptible items, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." A perfect lamb. Nothing that you could point out to this one, the Lord Jesus, that, oh, right there he failed. Right there he misspoke himself. Right there he acted unseemly. Right there he lied. Right there he deceived us. Right there he committed adultery. Right there he stole. No, there's nothing you could lay at the feet of Jesus and say, there's a fault. And Pilate stated that. Peter describes him that way. There was nothing about the Lord Jesus that you could lay at his feet and say, right there he failed. He sinned. He was blameless. Just like this lamb, prepared for the Passover, was without blemish. That's the lamb. Now there's a second thing I want us to notice in this picture from Passover. It was the death of the lamb. The death of the lamb. You'll notice that the death of the lamb was to occur on a specific day, the 14th day of Nisan. Separated on the 10th day, slaughtered, killed, sacrificed on the 14th day of Nisan. And on what day do you figure was the day on which Christ was sacrificed on the cross? 14th day of Nisan. And if we were to read through the rest of the description in this chapter attached to when they were to sacrifice this lamb. The death of Christ on the cross was the exact same time of day. 14th day of Nisan, in between the evenings, middle of the afternoon. Same time. The detail in this picture, which Christ fulfilled, was in every respect. 14th day of Nisan, middle of the afternoon. Notice also that this particular celebration was to involve the whole assembly. In other words, there wasn't a part of the children of Israel that were not to sacrifice the lamb. Well, we don't have any children in our family. Well, then you go with the family next door. You participate with someone. There was no one neglected. There was no one that did not participate in the celebration and in the slaughter, in the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. It involved the whole assembly. And although the Lord Jesus was the particular attack by the scribes and the Pharisees and the council of the Sanhedrin, it was the whole assembly that cried, "Crucify him." You can look that up, Mark 15 and Luke 23. It was the whole assembly. Everyone said, "Crucify him, crucify him. No, we don't want Barabbas. No, don't release him." Pilate tried to release him. Well, you have this custom that at this time of year we release someone to you. How about my releasing the Lord Jesus? He's spotless. There's nothing wrong with him. No, crucify him. And it was the whole assembly that cried, "Crucify him." Again, the picture fulfilled Christ, portrayed in the Passover. We also find in reading on the sacrifice of the lamb in the Passover, there's another very specific thing mentioned about this lamb. And it's in verse number 46. "In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof." No broken bones. Don't break a bone. As you are sacrificing this lamb, as you are partaking of it, as you are eating it as part of the Passover celebration, don't break a bone. Of course, we know that the Lord Jesus, as he hung on the cross, and that soldier, the centurion, came by, because oftentimes the way in which they administered the final death blow to those crucified on crosses was to break their legs so they couldn't support themselves anymore and they would finally die. And when the centurion came to the Lord Jesus to break his legs so that he would die, did not break his leg because he had died already. No broken bones. No broken bones. So, in the death of this lamb, sacrificed as part of the Passover celebration, the Lord Jesus fulfills it in detail. The third part of this celebration I want us to notice that has particular satisfaction and completion in Christ is the blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb. Notice what they were supposed to do with this blood. Verse number 7, "And thou shalt take of the blood and strike it on the doorpost and over the lintel." So very first of all, there was to be the sprinkling of the blood. They were to sprinkle it on the doors, on the sides and on the top. We read about the blood of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews, where it talks about the blood of Jesus in this fashion. It talks about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. I want us to read it because it begins to describe for us what the blood of Jesus accomplished for us who believe. Hebrews chapter 10. So that it talks not only about the fact that his blood was sprinkled as the blood of the Passover lamb was sprinkled, but what it accomplishes for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Speaking of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, cleansing our evil conscience. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24. We looked at this verse a while back when we examined the picture of Abel's sacrifice, but we'll review it again. It talks about the Lord Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus accomplished more for us as children of God and children of faith than the blood of this lamb of the Passover, than the blood of the sacrifice of Abel. And we'll look in a few moments at some other things that this blood accomplished for us. So there's a sprinkling of the blood where Christ fulfilled the sprinkling of the blood of the lamb in the Passover celebration. Notice also how that blood was sprinkled. It was sprinkled in the form of a cross, the sides and the top. It's like a cross. Now, it wasn't literally a cross, but it's similar to a cross. And where was the blood of Christ shed and sprinkled? On a cross. Notice also the meaning of Passover, because Passover is then described as part of this blood. Verse number 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So there, it was part of the Passover. Well, what was that? Well, I've heard Passover described in this fashion, that when the death angel was coming through, would come through Egypt and come through where the children of Israel were, when it saw the blood on the doorpost, it would pass over. It would jump over that house and that abode where they lived. It would pass over that house and go to the next house. Although that might be a pretty picture, that really isn't what the words describe. What the words describe is this: that a bird spreads its wings over the house. It passes over the house. So that when the death angel came, it could not get to the house. It was protected by the wings of the bird. It passed over. Now think a little bit. What did the Lord Jesus say as he, on the 10th day of Nisan, rode into Jerusalem and he stopped for a moment and looked outside and he wept over the city? What did he say? Oh, you city that kills the prophets, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen protects her chicks, but you would not. The Lord Jesus was the Passover. The Lord Jesus was the Passover on the original Passover event. As you read through there, verse number 23, I believe it is. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house. The Passover. The Lord Jesus was the Passover on that first time, and he is the eternal Passover who spreads his wings over his children as a mother hen would spread her wings over her chicks to protect them. Passover was the Lord Jesus. And the scriptures describe him as the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Better look it up. I want to make sure I get the right verse here. Yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Now, one of the things that they were to do as part of this celebration of Passover, which we did not examine, but as part of the description, if we would read it all in detail in chapter 12, was the removing of anything from the house that was evil or sinful. Purge out everything and only have unleavened bread. Purge all of the leaven out of your house. Verse number 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus is the Passover. He is the one who came in between the blood on the doorpost and the destroyer, and he passed over the house, spread his wings out over it, using the picture, like a mother hen protecting the children of Israel who put the blood on the doorpost, providing protection from the destroyer. The blood providing a means of identification where he was to pass over. And in the same fashion, the Lord Jesus is our Passover, protecting us from the judgment that we justly deserve because of our sin. He is our Passover. Hebrews chapter 9. To read just a few verses from here that describe the Lord's actions. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then down in verse number 22, for without the shedding of blood is no remission. So we see that in the blood of the Lamb of the Passover, we find its fulfillment in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And this blood that was on the doorpost was a substitution. By putting that blood there, it was a substitute. It took the place. It provided protection for the firstborn in that home. And the Lord Jesus is our substitute, sacrificed on our behalf. Now, those are the ways in which the Lord Jesus fulfills the Lamb of the Passover celebration. Now, I want to just quickly point out some things. How the Lord Jesus differs from this Lamb of the Passover. And of course, as the book of Hebrews points out, and other places do, but more in the book of Hebrews than in the other locations, how it is superior to. It is better than. If the blood of goats was somehow worthy, think of how worthy the blood of Christ is, which we just read in Hebrews, so much more. Well, I just want to point out a few things, the way in which the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus exceeds the Lamb of the Passover. First of all, the value of Christ as compared to the value of a lamb. Now, I don't know what the price of a lamb is in our day, but can't compare with the value of Christ, the eternal Son of the living God, the spotless one, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself flesh, that he might destroy the devil and the works of the devil. The value is no comparison. The second way in which the Lamb of God differs from the Lamb of the Passover is the Lamb of the Passover didn't have a voice in the matter. It was taken. Not so with Christ. Christ came of his own choice. He chose to sacrifice himself. He chose to be the sacrificial lamb. He chose to fulfill the obligations of God his Father to provide salvation for sinners. He did so willingly. The life of the lamb in the Passover was taken from it. Not so Christ. He willingly gave up his life on the cross. A third difference that we find between Christ and the Passover lamb is this: the frequency of the sacrifice. Now, Passover was to be done forever. It's one of those conditions that we read of further on in chapter 12. They were to do it every year. The month of Nisan, 10th and the 12th and the 14th, they were to celebrate Passover. And we find Jewish people today celebrating Passover. Not so with the Lord Jesus. We read again in Hebrews that he sacrificed himself once. One time was sufficient. The completeness of the offering of Christ was far superior to that of the Lamb of the Passover. We find that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus was accepted by the Father. Hebrews, we read that. We find that because of the sacrifice of Christ, there was total forgiveness. Complete. Nothing left out. Nothing that wasn't protected and covered by the blood. We find, third, that because of the blood of Christ, we are made righteous. It is the blood of Christ that makes us righteous. Romans 3:25. Because of the blood of Christ, we are justified. It's the blood that justifies us. We find that the blood of Christ is sufficient to provide forgiveness for any and every condition. Far superior to the Lamb of the Passover. Well, what can the Spirit of God do with these truths? First of all, he can open our eyes to see them, to see the beautiful picture in the Passover and how the Lord Jesus fulfilled it. And there are some other conclusions that we can draw from it, which I'll just mention briefly. The necessity of the blood. We just read in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The foundation of the blood. The blood is foundational to Christianity and to new life in Christ. The acceptance of the blood by the Father, his accepting it on our behalf, satisfied him completely and thoroughly. We find that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We find that there is safety in the blood of Christ. And just like in the celebration of the Passover when Moses came to them and said, tonight's the night And I suppose there were some of them that were tempted to say, oh yeah, really? I mean, we've been seeing this for a long time now. There's been a lot of these plagues that have come and gone and come and gone. You keep saying that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. The chance for doubt. Just as they required faith to practice that first Passover in anticipation of what God said He was going to do on their behalf that night, so the sacrifice of Christ requires faith by us for its application in our lives. Can't get away from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, I pray that as we have gone through this picture and shown how Christ fulfills it, at least in these few aspects, as we've had time to examine them, that it has warmed your heart, that it has opened your eyes to see the beautiful picture and how it is fulfilled in Christ and what He accomplished for us, that it might give cause in your heart and mind to give thanks, to remember in a new fashion, to give praise, honor, and glory, not only to the Father, but to the Son, and for what He accomplished for us on the cross, that our worship of Him might be more full and complete as a result. Well, I pray that it will edify, encourage, and strengthen you. And as we go to celebrate communion and remember His death, burial, and resurrection, that some of these things that we've examined will cause you to remember in a new fashion and to give Him the honor and glory that He deserves. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing for us in Your Word this beautiful description of the Passover and how the Lord Jesus completely fulfilled the Passover lamb. And He did it on our behalf. And we want to give You thanks and praise tonight and honor and glory. And to You, Lord Jesus, for Your free offer of Yourself and the sacrifice of Your own flesh and of Your own blood on our behalf. Thank You, Father, for Your acceptance on our behalf of His sacrifice, and that tonight we can celebrate and remember that with complete joy, thanksgiving, and praise to You for Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray, Father. Amen.